This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary and Chris back with you here for another week. This is Sunday, September the 28th, 2014. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm excellent, man. The weather's good. The week's been good. So there's plenty to discuss today. So I guess we'll get rolling, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Awesome. Real quick, just two in-house things we want to get out of the way very quickly. We do have a schedule change coming up. Normally, we release this show on Sundays. However, we're now going to change that, and we're going to be releasing the show every Wednesday. It's a little more of a more optimized for news. When we talk about things like Raw, it'll seem a lot more timely. And just in terms of our personal schedules, this is a better fit. So every Wednesday, we're going to be dropping a new Wrestling Informant Radio. No more for Sundays, but on Wednesdays, we'll be dropping a new show. And Chris, I'll throw to you. Mm-hmm. This is your get. We actually have a guest on this Wednesday show, because there is going to be a show this Wednesday. So listeners, you're actually getting two shows this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify, on Wednesday, it'll be Wednesday night.
Yes, Wednesday night.
Right. I don't want people thinking they're getting up at Wednesday a.m. and expecting a show to be up.
Oh, no, fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be Wednesday night.
Okay.
So it'll be probably around 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I'll be releasing it pretty much immediately.
Right, and we usually go about an hour anyway, so that's kind of perfect. So look for it around 9 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday night.
Yes.
It'll show up on all the subscription lists and feeds that you guys have.
Definitely.
So with that being said, I managed to secure a huge, huge guest for this Wednesday night. Our first Wednesday night, we're going to go out with a... We're going to come out
with
swinging.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we got from Wrestling Observer, we got Brian Alvarez.
Oh, very good. Those guys have been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of respect for, Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez. They've been in this business for a long time. And certainly, you know, we're a couple of new kids on the block, Chris, and we do have a great respect for what they do. So it'll be nice to get Brian on here. And Brian, I believe, has a book that's a republishing of his book.
Yeah, it's the, I think it was the fall of WCW. It was surrounding the demise.
Uh-huh.
WCW. Yeah, it's a revisionist.
Oh, there we go. It'll be coming back out.
I think it's coming out in October.
Yes. Yes. I saw him tweeting that he got the hard copies of the book in the mail. So I believe we'll just give him a plug right now. I believe if you go to WrestlingObserver.com, you can secure yourself a book if there's any left. So
right, you could probably get it through Amazon too.
There
and
you go.
Use our link.
WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon.
There you go.
Help
you
us out.
Help us out. Help Brian out. Yep.
And there you go.
I know we'll definitely be plugging his book this Wednesday.
Of course. We definitely will. Of course, a quick plug for membership.
Yes.
You go to WrestlingInformant.com/membership. $2.99 a month. Folks, you only got about another week or two, and then the price is actually going up. We did say when we first launched the site, this price was not going to be forever. And so in the next week or so, the price is going to go up to $4.99. So you had better get on this membership now and get locked in, because if you get locked in now, you get the $2.99 price forever. It will never change as long as you're a member. And Chris, tell them what they get when they sign up for membership.
Oh, of course. You get you get all the shoot interviews we've ever done, ever.
Massive archive.
Yeah, the massive, massive shoot library that is constantly growing. So, you know, we're adding new stuff constantly. So that way it doesn't get stale or anything like that. Plus, you guys get daily audio updates from myself and Gary.
Yep, Monday to Friday updates. We're constantly updating the news Monday to Friday. Yep. As news comes in, pending any major news stories, there could be extra, shows along the way, or even shows on the weekend if the news provides it.
Yep.
But that's basically what we are. I mean, we're mainly an audio type feed. We try to keep our pricing very competitive in terms of what you get elsewhere. And we certainly believe that the audio quality here is of a high level. And obviously, of course, the topics that are. As well. So we hope that you guys will join us at WrestlingInformant.com/membership. $2.99 for a limited time. Now, with that out of the way, Chris, let's dive into our first topic. I wanted to kind of lead off with this, if you don't mind.
No, it's fine.
Roman Reigns, we talked about this last week. He's being out with his incarcerated hernia. And you know, on the website, they kind of said, well, it's going to be about 4 to 6 weeks. It's about a month, a little bit over. But on the television, they've been kind of talking like this could be several months that he could be out. And so I've been a little bit confused with their kind of portrayal of it. And I don't know if maybe they're just kind of thinking, hey, let's just keep him out a little bit longer. Even if he is ready, maybe absence makes the heart grow fonder, as maybe some fans have kind of staled on him already. I don't know that that's his fault, though. Again, I mean, it's all in kind of what you get and kind of what Vince McMahon wants to do and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, let's just, you know, let's just say that he does come back around, let's just say it's January, okay? Royal Rumble seems like the perfect time to bring him back, right?
Yeah, because it's the buzz is starting to come from WrestleMania. And then you got the Royal Rumble match. That'd be a perfect spot for him to actually come back into the Rumble match itself.
I agree, but let me throw a monkey wrench into that logic for just a moment, if I may.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'd like to hear this.
All right, so you've got Daniel Bryan who's out right now still.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what his status is. We've not really been updated on it.
No.
Recently, he's been out since what was it, June or July or something like that.
Yeah, it was right after because he won the title at Mania, and then he defended it again.
Yeah, Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Extreme Rules, because then Money in the Bank was the free-for-all for the title. So it was right before Money in the Bank. It was like 3 weeks before that.
Right. So I'm just going to throw this out here, and I want to hear not only from you, Chris, but also the listeners of this show. We've been watching the numbers. It's been growing every week, and we do appreciate that. But for the wrestling fans out there, I want to know what they think as well, Chris, but I'll throw it to you. Let's say Bryan comes back around the Royal Rumble. Now, if you remember 2013 and how could, or 2014, the beginning of 2014, how could anybody forget?
Yeah.
Batista comes back. Everybody
hates him and he gets booed out of the building.
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
Yeah, even Mysterio felt the wrath and he was just a victim of the situation.
Right.
Poor guy got booed at number 30.
You're absolutely right. So what happens now? This is my question to you. What happens? They bring back Roman Reigns, and they made it in their mind that they're still going to go, you know, maybe with what the kind of plan is, and that is let's heat Roman up. Let's get him to WrestleMania. He'll win the title from Brock, you know, so on and so forth. Brock, I want to get to in a little while because there's been some crazy, you know, some weird head-scratching things going on here. But with Roman, so if he comes back around the Royal Rumble, and then you've got Daniel Bryan coming back around the same time, but if the plan is for Roman to go to WrestleMania with the title, what do you do if the fans once again try to force Vince and Triple H and Stephanie's hand into going in another direction? Do we even think that's possible? How are the fans going to react if Roman Reigns is on his rise here and here comes Daniel Bryan and the fans know that Daniel Bryan had his title taken away?
Yep.
And they're going to want to see him get that title back. I mean, we talk about absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, when Daniel Bryan shows back up, he's going to get a monstrous response.
Oh, he is. And then they'll automatically want him in the title picture, regardless of who wins the Rumble.
So
which we saw that this past year, how they end up making it a triple threat.
So what do they do, Chris? How do they do this?
I'm wondering, because there's been a lot of speculation that a lot of opinions out there.
Yes.
That Roman Reigns isn't ready, like not just physically ready, but just his character's not there yet.
Yeah,
but that's what people think. Oh gosh, they could. I'm wondering if they just leapfrog Roman Reigns just completely, and get Bryan in that spot because they know he can. They obviously know he can do it.
Bryan is a good backup, but I just think all this stuff with Roman. I don't know that we can just sit here and blame Roman Reigns. I don't think it's his fault.
No, it's not. I mean, it isn't his fault, but then you got perception. Audience perception, they may want to see him do great, but I don't know if anybody's really thinking that he could be championship material.
Well, no,
and it's still early to tell. I mean, we're just speculating because we don't know when either one of them is coming back exactly, because we're getting, you know, Brian's out indefinitely. Roman Reigns, we're getting a couple of different dates or at least time windows for his return.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
It is tough. It is so tough to even predict that far ahead. Because I mean, we're almost in October, and we got two more pay per views coming up at the end of the year, and it's crazy.
I'm just trying to think in my mind. I've been thinking about this for the last few days, and I'm just like, if these two guys come back around the same time, they're going to have a big problem.
Right. Or they throw them in the elimination chamber.
They could do that too.
Get them both into the chamber so that way you can, and maybe have them be the last ones in the chamber, and then that will headline WrestleMania.
Now, is it possible that I've overthought this at all? Is it possible at all that perhaps the fans will not be forced to pick, and they'll either forget or move on from both of these guys? Is that possible, or am I just crazy?
I think it may be one or the other. I think it's going to be one or the other. I mean, I don't know if it'll be. It could be both.
Yeah, I don't.
But I think they'll be more behind Daniel Bryan than they will Roman Reigns.
Oh, that I think
that's
is a certainty.
Obvious, right? That is a sure deal.
I'm just fascinated at when Bryan does come back to see the kind of response he garners, because he's been gone for a while. And so, with that being said, when he comes back, do people remember earlier this year, late last year? Do they remember all that stuff?
And also, I think it does help that they had Dean Ambrose back from his movie. That I think that kind of helped with Roman Reigns leaving and get healed. You got Ambrose right back in, so the excitement's still there for those three guys. I mean, you got Seth Rollins, you got Dean Ambrose, and of course they're not forgetting, they're incorporating Roman Reigns into the storyline. But I think it definitely, if they didn't have Ambrose back from his movie, that could have been a huge problem.
Ambrose is another guy, I'm glad you brought him up, because there's something else where it's like, you know, with Roman out, they need to rely more than ever on Dean Ambrose as a solid number two babyface, of course, behind the breadwinner, I guess, as you can call it, John Cena. But
the guy.
But and you know, watching Raw this week, it was just crazy to see Dean Ambrose to tell John Cena. I mentioned this in my Raw report. To tell John Cena, don't give me a reason not to like you. You've already got a reason not to like you. You, John Cena. And your buddy, Roman Reigns, stood in the ring back in July or August and watched you get the crap beat out of you on the Titantron backstage. Like, you should already have a reason not to like him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that.
Forgettable.
It was such a head scratcher. I guess if Vince doesn't remember it, then why should we, right? We should just move on. It just kind of upsets me because it's like you're not rewarding people who pay attention to your show on a weekly basis. Like, I obviously remember that. Other wrestling fans remember that.
I remember that.
I mean, so what, how could you not have somebody on the staff who's like a continuity expert who could say, all right, well, you know, 6 weeks ago we did this. So for Ambrose to come out and say this kind of doesn't make any sense. Unless he doesn't care that John Cena and Roman Reigns didn't help. Maybe he just doesn't care.
Or they could have played it like, you know what, this has been bothering me for some time, and then he just confronts him with it, like out of the blue, just boom. You did this to me, and now you're on my radar, so to speak. You got me really pissed off, and I'm coming after you.
Yeah, but these guys, they just don't talk. Like John Cena, for instance, he's probably the glaring example. They just don't talk like real people would talk.
No, it's not how men would confront each other.
I got a quote for you here that I'm pulling it up right now, so just give me about 2 seconds. But John Cena, the way he talked about Seth Rollins and the way he portrayed his anger didn't seem like what a normal guy would do when someone has screwed them out of the title. Let me pull this thing here.
Okay.
He said, this is John Cena speaking. He said that Seth Rollins had took his best to take Ambrose out. Okay, that's all right. Then he said he had Lesnar beat, and he was going to be the one who beat the one. That's fine. They've been playing up on that line. But then he went on to say this. He said, he was going to beat the one who beat the one until that selfish, slimy, close-minded, rubber suit-wearing jackass showed up. Who talks like that? What kind of grown man who had his title opportunity taken away from him talks about something like that? Like
that's a grown man reading a script. What that is. That's a TV made line.
Exactly. That's the problem. Like they're not making it their own. They're memorizing the stuff seemingly word for word on most parts. Like, I just think about how I would respond, or how I would think that somebody else would respond. I'd be like, yeah, you know, Seth Rollins tried to take you out, Dean Ambrose, and I almost had Brock Lesnar beat I was going to beat the one who beat the one, as he likes to say, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then Seth Rollins came out and took that away from me, and I'm going to find him and kick his ass. Right. You know, like, boom, talk like a man. Talk like a real man talks.
Right. I mean, we've talked about, you know, they can't go back to the Attitude Era, or they can't go back in time. And
I don't want them to go back to
No. But if they took certain elements, like I remember watching Stone Cold, and he just come out and says, I'm going to kick your ass, and I'm Stone Cold, and blah, 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 blah. Even just that, it was just real simple. He's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to beat your ass and take that title or whatever.
Or leave the ass out of it. Like, you know, when I see you, Seth Rollins, I'm going to beat you down into the ground. You know, something. Right. Like, I mean, just...
Something like that.
You don't call him a selfish, slimy, close-minded, rubber suit-wearing jackass. And then he goes on to say that he's going to cash in his ass-kicking in the bank contract, and no one's going to stop him. That's terrible.
Cheesy. That's so cheesy.
Real men don't talk like that. Not that you've ever been in a bar fight, Chris. I've not been in one either.
No.
But I don't ever see somebody in a bar fight, even in a movies, where they say, I'm going to beat up this rubber suit wearing jackass and cash in my ass kicking in the bank contract.
It's awful. Cheesy. Right. It's such a horrible play on words, and it's just lame and cheesy.
You know what it is? Well, first of all, the way that they're writing these lines, they're trying to write them to bounce off the sheet so that probably when Vince looks at it, he'll say, oh, ha ha, rubber suit wearing jackass, ha ha.
God damn it, that was funny.
Right. I think that they write a lot of these lines not keeping the character in mind, but actually just to make the stuff jump out on a sheet to please Vince or whoever. Like, I don't really think people would say this in a real fight.
Or even the younger kids probably think it's funny.
Yeah, but...
It's so cheesy that the younger audience may think it's funny.
Ugh. Chris, it's just not.
From a different. Because we're just from that different generation. It's just shaking our heads like we are now, thinking, "What is he talking about?"
Yeah, I don't.
It's the generation gap. He's probably obviously it's still the PG or whatever, so they're probably still catering towards the kids. So they gotta make it like slapstick, stupid, funny.
So calling him a rubber suit wearing jackass. That's funny,
probably.
Huh?
Well, not to me.
I'm just checking.
No. I'm talking about for the kids.
Oh, okay.
I was saying it's geared towards that younger audience. Because the stuff we grew up in is gone. I mean, that is just, that's on the WWE Network in the historical archives.
Oh, yeah. You can watch it there for $9.99, right?
Right. All the edgy stuff that we grew up watching, that stuff's gone. So they got to cater towards a younger audience.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable to me. Another thing that's unbelievable is, Having a title change on television with no hype, and then when it happens, there's no fanfare afterwards, nobody's talking about it, nobody's playing up on it, there's no post-match interview, and of course I'm talking about the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what's the point of it changing hands if it's going to go right back to Ziggler? I never understood that.
They just wanted something to do, I guess.
Oh God,
they wanted to give away a rematch from the pay-per-view. And that's another thing. It's like people get these pay-per-view. They get these pay-per-views or on the network, and then the next night they just give away a rematch or two. And it's like, well, even though it wasn't an important match, it's not like they're giving away Lesnar Cena again, but still, you're giving away a rematch 24 hours later. I don't know. I'm more of save it for the next show, because they're just gonna do another rematch on the next show anyway.
Right. And that's part of the problem I have, and I think that's also why some of these pay-per-views just feel like Raw. They don't feel like a pay-per-view, and it's for reasons like this.
They're defined down. These matches are defined down as not important. Who cares?
Right.
That's a problem.
They're just throwing away the title, taking away the importance of it. And I guess I really was reaching last week when I said I hope they restore some credibility to the Intercontinental title. That just goes right out the window. That didn't happen. This just proves that point.
Oh, good Lord.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, man. That's funny.
That's funny. Just being real, but they just don't. Like, it's like they're just not even trying anymore.
And what's going on with Bo Dallas? He's a jobber now, trading wins with Swagger.
Yeah, no
even
kidding.
Stevens. Nobody can really get over on one another. It's just even Stevens. One show this guy wins, and the next show we have to give this guy's win back. Then this guy's gonna get his win back, and that's just a whole other thing.
Yeah, there's this constant back and forth on Raw and SmackDown. I mean, they're giving away free. There's some of these matches are giving away for free.
Yeah. And then how about
these could be pay-per-view quality matches, but they're just throwing them away on Raw or SmackDown or main event or whatever.
And I got something else even more absurd for you. Dean Ambrose locked in a room. He's not in there making a peep. Are you kidding me? He's quiet as a mouse. Is quiet. Hold on. I don't know. A mouse is quiet. I don't know. But he's in there. You don't see like the door slamming or there's no like thumping. Stephanie was the one who made the most sense out of the whole show when she said, "We can't kick him out. When have you ever known anyone we've kicked out to not just sneak back in the building?" That was the most making sense kind of line I've heard in a long time, because it's true. Every time they kick somebody out, they always sneak back in.
Right, because they just pretend it doesn't. They just pretend like it's not going to happen. They're like, "Get him out of here! Throw him out of my. I want him out of my building."
Yeah,
that's what every GM, Mr. McMahon has thrown Stone Cold Steve Austin out, and then he'd come right back in a cement truck or a monster truck or whatever. He was coming back in.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
It's just unfreaking believable. And so he's not making, they went back to that shot a couple times during the show. And even Triple H walked up to security. "Hey, have you heard anything?" "No, he's not made a peep." So like,
he's not doing anything.
And then at the end of the show, he appears underneath a box out at ringside. So I'm hoping that next week he'll explain how he like climbed through an air duct or something and snuck out and got to the ring. I'd like to think that they're going to explain it, but then again, they probably will not.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Let's see. Anything else from this show? I'm just kind of randomly mentioning things from Raw because I just think it's just crazy. Oh, the bunny. Can we talk about the bunny now?
Oh, I guess so.
Michael Cole.
Bunny.
When he was calling the action for the bunny, it was the most effort I had ever heard him put into calling anything at all. Like, when that bunny tagged in, he sounded the most enthused about the product he sounded in months. He said that this was like WrestleMania, Chris.
A bunny.
The bunny, yes.
Oh. God,
it's true.
This is the other. I'm going through all the problems I have, and I'm just picking them apart. But that's the other problem I have. Get commentators like Tom Phillips on SmackDown. He's been great. He's calling the action. He's stuck between Michael Cole and JBL, and I feel sorry for him.
Hey, don't get down on Michael Cole. When the bunny was in there, he was calling every move. He was engaged like you would not believe.
Oh man!
And here's the other thing that I think is just crazy in my mind, the fact that they put the bunny out there, and the bunny would probably play more to the children, but they put it in the third hour near like the half, like the bottom half of the hour. Like, what the hell? What kid is going to be up at 10:30 at night when they got school the next day waiting to watch a damn bunny? Put him in the first hour, get him out there, get him out.
Right, he should be like, because you got your opening segment with they're usually talking, you got Triple H or whatever, you got your main event out there talking.
Yes,
bring him in like second or third segment.
Yeah, I mean, there's
still early before the 9 o'clock hour.
It makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand it.
None of my kids not up that late.
Yeah,
and then, not a million years.
And then at the end of the show, I mean, you've got the big Ambrose reveal. They clear the ring. Seth Rollins. If you go back and watch the end of the show, Chris, Seth Rollins is going up through the crowd. Ambrose is keeping an eye on him, like he's trying to like intensely tell him, like, "I'm going to get you." Cena's getting up on the second rope at first, playing to the crowd like the show's over or something. And I'm like, dude, you're supposed to want Rollins. Like, why would you be jumping up on the ropes, playing the crowd? Wouldn't you be staring him cold dead in the ring, watching him as they go off the show? I mean, maybe he missed a cue. Maybe he didn't know that they were still in the air, but.
Or like shouting at him or something, or talking smack, point your finger at him or whatever.
Well, I think somebody must have told him, because finally, after like maybe 35, 40 seconds, he got down off the rope and then went over and looked over at Rollins and proceeded to face him for the rest of the till they faded to black, basically. And I'm like, wow, did I really just notice it? It's just crazy to me. So, and then I could hear Cena calling the damn spots in the ring again. That's another thing I heard.
Oh yeah,
he was over near the corner and said something, telling Orton something about he was about to get up or something like that. I'm like, dude, like, can you please keep it down?
Yeah, shut
you
up.
You know what I mean?
Just shut up.
Just keep it down, and bro. I know
Austin's talked about this too, where he says, because I guess people emailed him.
Yeah.
Saying that he noticed that they're looking at the ref whenever they're getting pinned. And he's like, God, just stop looking at the ref. Feel it. You can hear it. I mean, just don't look at the ref. It just looks bad.
Yeah.
Just don't look.
Do
and
not
stuff
look.
Like that. And you can hear them. They're too loud when right. they're calling the spots, cause especially when I got the surround sound on.
Oh, God. Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah, you can hear everything. And they got the enhanced microphones now on their cameras and even the women calling the matches. Ugh.
So, I mean, all in all, I don't know that Raw was just got awful terrible, but they're not doing themselves any favors here. I mean, it could be a lot better.
And they've mentioned the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, but nothing else.
We know nothing about it. There was no mention of Brock Lesnar other than the beginning opening video package, which showed him and Cena in their match from Night of Champions, which we'll talk about that as well. No, not even any Paul Heyman. You know, forget the fact, okay, you don't have Lesnar for a few dates or whatever, fine.
Whatever.
Wouldn't you bring in Paul Heyman to talk about it or something?
Or gloat about it, because you could even play off of that. Like, he's gloating. That'd be something typical that he would do. You get a, well, I call him a villain, but he's more beloved than any face on the roster. But, I mean, you get him just gloating about the victory or something.
Well, it just tells me that they don't know what they want to do yet.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, we know, and I think they just said it's in like 3 weeks in Dallas, Texas, or something like that.
That's all they got.
That's it.
That's all the information we have on that program. So I'm hoping Monday we'll get an indication. I would certainly imagine. I don't think there's any reason for them not to tell us what's going on, you know, with Hell in the Cell and that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. We'll keep our eyes peeled, but before we look too far forward, Chris, you have any quick thoughts on Night of Champions?
Well, obviously, I was pretty good on my picks.
Yeah,
I think I nailed it. I think I pretty much nailed it, except for the IC title switch. But like I said, this earlier, it just felt more like a Raw. It didn't feel special.
You're right. I mean, I enjoyed seeing Lesnar.
Right, and you were 1,000% right on that, because they built this thing around one match.
They did.
Because the rest just felt like a glorified Raw. And that just pains me, because they could do so much more.
Well, and then they put, you know, they have the finish of this thing with Lesnar and Cena. They put, you know, your most serious, legitimate threat, and they have them involved in some hokey pro wrestling cheap angle. They've done this at Night of Champions like the last two or three years in the row, where it ends in some kind of BS finish. They did the same thing with Daniel Bryan.
Yep. And all the in-between pay-per-views. Yep.
Because they're using that show as a bridge to go to the next one. So they just can't own up to the, they can't own up to the finish. They've got to do something kind of like cheesy. And for me, I just don't understand that. You got to bring in Seth Rollins to get this DQ thing. For me, it just doesn't make any sense, but I'm sure they know what they're doing, Chris. I guess we'll just have faith in that they know what they're doing.
I guess because they work there and we don't.
By the way, you were 5-1 in your picks.
Yes, I was.
You did the very only one well, missed, Chris.
Thank you. Oh, it wasn't any big surprise for me because of the way they were building and not building anything up.
Yeah. It's just a tough call, man. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it sucks because I would like to see them put more focus into these shows. Instead of just bridging them to a free Raw or SmackDown or one of these other free shows, and then they're only kind of concerned about the big four.
Yeah.
If they're only concerned about the big four, just only air the big four. Why not?
Well, they're not. They're certainly not going to get rid of all the other shows. Then they don't have a network selling point. No. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That is crazy to think that. But I understand your thinking, though.
Right, because that's how it feels like they're treating this. They're treating it as a bridge. They're instead of having Raw to build up for the show, they're doing it backwards.
Yeah.
They're having their special events on the network building towards Raw, and that's I've never seen such backwards thinking.
It's the same thing TNA's always done. We'll use the pay-per-view to sell Impact, but nobody's watching the pay-per-view, so what are you doing?
Right, and their Impact numbers are way down.
Yeah, they went below a million this week, so it's just 1 week. We'll have to see what happens next week, and we can't certainly jump the gun on 1 week, but I'm interested to see kind of where the trend goes. You know what I mean? I'm interested to see how that flows. But look, speaking of pay-per-view, I don't want to get too far away from this pay-per-view thing. SummerSlam, the preliminary buys are in. This comes from WWE's corporate website via a a PDF document showing their earnings and things of that nature. SummerSlam did between 140 and 150,000 buys this year, and obviously, of course, that's down. Last year did close to 300,000, so essentially cut in half. But of course, the network is in play. But I guess the bigger question I'll throw to you, and then I'll give my thoughts as well, is does it surprise you that they're still getting this many people on pay-per-view, or did you kind of anticipate it to be far lower than this?
Well, let me try to figure out the numbers. So the buys that they put on the PDF, that is strictly ordering through pay-per-view?
Yes.
That's not network subscriptions.
Nothing. The network is separate. They have that listed separately.
Okay.
Yes.
No, that's interesting. I figured, I guess people have maybe had some disdain for the network.
Well, yeah,
I originally thought that number would be lower.
Yeah.
Especially how Michael Cole was, well, I guess, no, this happened after the fact, but how he, I saw it on SmackDown. He's like, oh, they showed a visual chart. I don't know if you've seen this.
Coming out of the break on Raw, right, when they're sitting there at the announce table and they're talking.
Yes.
They're essentially calling the pay-per-view, I'm glad you brought this up too, they're essentially calling the pay-per-view buyer suckers for paying $54.
Right, and they got the nice chart there. The nice visual chart graphic showing $54.99 or $9.99, and it is just like a little, like somebody threw together an Excel chart or something.
I just think that's so insulting for the people that, because
yeah,
this is the problem. I tweeted about this at PW Informant is our Twitter. I tweeted about this. I'm like, you know, not everybody has the network capability. It's a wide variety of factors. One, they could be in a rural area or they're not getting reliable internet.
Yep.
Also, the other problem is you have people that are just so damn stuck in their ways that they don't want to adapt to a new technology. They don't want to watch it on their phone or their laptop or even a streaming device that plugs right into their television.
Everybody's caught on to that, the streaming device.
Yeah. So I mean it's a couple of different factors. So you have people that still order the pay-per-view, and granted, I thought the number would be a little bit lower, but I mean, it's still a good sign. There's still people buying pay-per-views. They're not 100% dead yet, but I don't think you need to insult these people. You could just simply say, this, Chris, I think is a far less insulting way to say it. You just simply say, hey, we want to thank everybody who's ordered our pay-per-view this evening. However, if you want to find a way to save money ordering our next show, visit WWE.com. We're going to tell you all about it. We're going to tell you all about our WWE network and tell you how you can save money and still enjoy our action. That's the best way to do it. Instead of saying, hey, you just ordered our pay-per-view and you spent nearly $60 when all you had to do was go to the WWE network and sign up for $9.99, you spent nearly $60. That's crazy. You know, whatever verbiage they use. It's just so simple. You just simply say, hey, guys, thank you so much for ordering, but go to our website. We're going to tell you a great way how to save money on the next one. That's all you have to do.
Right. They could put a positive spin on it.
Yes.
Instead of a negative talk. They're like talking down to people.
Exactly.
That's not how you advertise or market or anything like that.
That is dangerous.
Yeah, that's bad. That's backlash. That's all it is. You're just asking for a backlash.
Exactly. Now let's shift into something else, and I don't know if this will be positive or negative or not, but last week on the show, Chris, we talked about Ring of Honor, and they were coming to television here in Washington, where I'm based out of.
Yep, expanding their syndication.
Exactly, and I told you that I was going to set the DVR, which I did, and I was met with a little bit of disappointment. First of all, my ABC affiliate decided to start the show a half an hour late from the actual schedule, so I only got a half an hour of the show.
Oh, no.
Now, I know you had mentioned to me that it was in standard def, and I was like, well, you know, that's a little ludicrous, but they actually stretched the picture to fit widescreen, which did not look very good. And this is what I'm kind of thinking, and I don't know. I mean, maybe they've got some old cameras from when they started the company, but if you can film an internet pay-per-view or a traditional pay-per-view, if you have the equipment to film these things in high def and it looks really, really good, which their pay-per-view, what was it, Best in the World, looked tremendous.
Oh, and All-Star Extravaganza looked amazing as well.
Okay.
That was the most recent one. So, All-Star Extravaganza 6.
So why can't you use the same cameras? Because they're not broadcasting live to television every week. So, you know, you're not having that cost. All you're doing is recording it to tape. So why can't you record it in high def and Sinclair passes it through to the affiliates in high def? What's the problem here?
I have no idea, but I've been wondering that for a long time.
I mean, it just, the presentation does not look good. I mean, the wrestling is great, but here's the problem with that. If you're trying to, I mean, you know, hardcore fans, they'll go above and beyond to try to find this stuff. And that's, you know, you've already got them through the door. You don't need to try to sell people when you've already got them in the door. It's the kind of on the edge, kind of casual viewers, you know, who maybe they might like wrestling or a competitive action, which certainly at ROH, you watch their wrestling matches. They're very competitive. They're very exciting. Yes. They have great talent. But if it's in a bad presentation and it comes across looking low rent, that's a problem.
Well, and the other members know that our wrestling informant members know this as I go into great detail on these tapings. But also, this is the other part of the problem I have.
Okay.
Is the time window in which they present these tapings to the public.
Okay.
There are weeks and weeks of a delay.
How many weeks are we talking?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. The one last week, it was from... They're still showing Death Before Dishonor, and that was at the end of August.
Oh, wow. That is a while away.
Right, because on the tapings, they're still showing Elgin as a world champ, which we all know, currently it's Jay Briscoe.
So the television's not lining up properly.
No, it's not, and that's the other problem I have. I mean, like you said, I'm one of those fans. I'll watch it anyway. Even if I wasn't covering for Wrestling Informant, which I'm very grateful and proud of that.
Of course.
But I would still watch it because it's such a great product. And because of things that I didn't get to see, whether it was a live event and they were just taping just for this reason to get it on TV a few weeks later.
Yeah.
But I do, because like you said, the hardcore fans and the more vested interest, they're going to pay attention to these timelines.
Certainly.
And it's odd to me. It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, does it cost more to record and save in high def if you're already recording the show? I mean, does that cost more? I don't understand.
Because they'd have to buy all... Obviously, they want it more visually appealing in their arenas, and they'd have to buy new equipment.
But the pay-per-view looks great. Are they just renting those cameras? Are those cameras like renting for one night? Is that what's going on? Maybe it
could be, because I'm even looking at the schedule for upcoming pay-per-views, and it's like there's one that's a two-night pay-per-view, but most of them, there's a live event, there's TV, there's iPay-per-view, so it's like they're picking their spots.
Okay.
For this, so maybe they're either leasing, I don't know if they're leasing equipment, or it's more cost-effective to just run, to keep an HD camera and run it just this one time.
Well, I mean, just, you know, rent the damn cameras for a TV taping, film four or five shows in a night, and it looks great. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I'm hoping eventually that they do go to an HD format for their TV.
Chris, it's the same. I'll give you the same comparison. It's very similar, although we're audio. It's 2014.
Yep.
In 2014, for a wrestling website of any kind to have a podcast and for it not to sound in crystal clear broadcast or better, or CD quality for that matter, for it not to broadcast in CD quality audio is ridiculous.
Right, because all the hardware...
We would be so far behind, Chris, if we were using, let's say, teleconferencing equipment. If we jumped on a conference call together, use one of those like freeconferencecall.com or whatever, that's not a plug, by the way, but...
Just for the sake of discussion.
If we were to jump on that and do our show there and then download the MP3 from their website, it would sound terrible. If we were to go on a website like Blog Talk Radio, for instance, and use their site to do our show and use our phones, it would sound terrible. The same thing goes for television. If you're going to present a product, and especially if it's going to air on a network affiliate, I mean, you got to look good, man.
Yeah.
You got to look good.
That may be part of the reason why they're airing at the time slot they do. Because I bet if they had a different time slot, which we've covered,
we've talked about it
in detail, of the different time slot. I bet if they went to a different time slot, they wouldn't mess around. They'd want to make sure that it's in HD and get it all set up nice and looking good for the people.
But if you're Sinclair Broadcasting and you've got a major clearance on network TV, wouldn't you want it to look consistently high quality across the board?
I would.
I mean, seriously, I mean...
I absolutely would. I would want, you know, because they exist, 2014, it still bothers me that they're not in HD on their TV shows.
I know what some people say. Some people probably listen to this like, you guys are crazy, this doesn't matter, why are you guys making a big deal of it? It's all in presentation. You could have the best product in the world, and I think Ring of Honor has a hell of a product. They have hell of a talent, you know, mm-hmm. great athletes. The way they present their matches, they're highly competitive. They're very exciting to watch. But if it doesn't look good, that's a problem, and that's going to keep some portion of the audience away. I don't care what anybody says. There are people who will judge a book by its cover, people that maybe have never seen ROH, and they will not mm-hmm. give them the chance they deserve if it doesn't look good. And that's absolutely in play here, and to not think it is crazy.
Well, I'll give you another example where it might be weird is there's an indie company out in California, PWG.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're huge out there. Yeah,
they're huge, but they're DVD only.
Oh, God, yeah. You gotta get something else going there, I think.
And they are hard-headed. They've done that forever.
And they have a hell of a reputation too of great wrestling,
yeah.
consistently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great wrestling.
It is great wrestling, but they may just do. I don't know if they do pay-per-views or if they're just. I think they're strictly releasing to the public on DVD, or you have to attend the live event. That's it.
Interesting. One other thing I'll mention because I only got to see one match on the show because I only got a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So the opening match was a four-corner survival match. Silas Young, BJ Whitmer, ACH, and Michael Bennett. You know, good match. A fun little match.
Yeah.
But where was the graphic explaining to new viewers what a four-corner survivor match is? You know, where's the rules? Why aren't they laying out what this match is all about, how to win it, and all that kind of stuff? I didn't see any of that. You know, somebody like us, we get it. We know what's going on. But
right.
you have to explain some of this stuff. You can't just assume everybody watching your show has, you know, they've seeked you out deliberately. They already know everything that's going on. You still have to take 10 to 15 seconds to just explain, or longer, 30 seconds, to explain what's going on. I think that's a small little detail that can help them go a long way.
Or while they're doing the intros, because usually they do great visuals, like with the tail of the tape and things like that. They can easily put up a graphic that says, here's the deal, here's the stipulations of the match.
Yes, it would help out a lot of people, I think.
Right.
But that's just my take. What a show it's been today, Chris. I can't believe we're coming up on nearly 45 minutes. Let's close out on these two items before we hit the road here. Dwayne Johnson and Dave Bautista both with brand new movies. They just both signed up for new movies.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh, this is going into your theory from last week.
Hey, man. I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they've got big movies on the way here. We've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who just inked a new deal with Universal to do the Jansen Directive, which is based on a book by the late Robert Ludlow. It's part of the Bourne series, Chris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's going to be a huge movie when it comes out. Akiva Goldsman wrote the screenplay. And Rock tweeted about this, so this is a very exciting move for him. You know, it'll probably be a big blockbuster, especially if it's got the kind of Jason Bourne, story to it. It's going to be pretty interesting. And then let's also now talk about, as we close up the show here, Dave Bautista landing a role alongside Robert De Niro, Gina Carano, Kate Bosworth, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a film called Bus 657.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's quite a cast there.
A big role. So both of these guys are in, you know, a huge, huge position here to make big movies. And I think that absolutely, Chris, they need to now more than ever think about doing this match at WrestleMania next year, right?
Oh, that'd be huge.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Big money doesn't even cover it. I mean, that is just the publicity and press and also the money.
Yeah.
For that match.
Exactly.
Because they kind of just crossed paths when they were coming up, because The Rock was out, Batista was coming in, and they just never really, they were kind of missed each other on the wrestling scale of timing.
Yeah. So they need to definitely attack this thing now. Now more than later. They need to get on this now.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Chris, let's wrap it up right now. WrestlingInformant.com/membership. Sign up now. The price is going up soon. So get in now and lock in your rate. WrestlingInformant.com/membership. Chris, where can they find you on Twitter?
Before you find me on Twitter, actually it's @ChrisMcManamy, but this week I wanted to get this in.
Oh, please do.
This Friday, I've always been about supporting the independent wrestling, and I encourage everybody to do the same wherever you may live. But I've given them my money, and I will be front row at a local independent wrestling show in Alton, Illinois. It's for St. Louis Anarchy Wrestling.
Oh, very good.
There's going to be some big names there. Kyle O'Reilly, you might have heard me mention him a couple of times. He's on Ring of Honor. Yeah, ACH is going to be there. I think Cedric Alexander is going to be there. And let's see, who else? I think Michael Elgin is also going to be there.
Very, very good. You can
I'll be attending that Friday night. So I may not have members audio on Friday, just so that way our members get that cleared up.
Fair enough. Follow me on Twitter @GaryCantrell. That's going to do it for us today. That's going to do it for us. I can't say that's going to do it for us this week. Tune in Wednesday night. We're going to have Brian Alvarez, WrestlingObserver.com, on the show. Thank you guys for the support, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.